Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, good morning. Happy Easter Resurrection Day. Such a pivotal moment. Have you ever stopped to really think of how pivotal Resurrection Sunday is? The cross is so important to us. But man, this is the Sunday that really seals the deal, amen. I want to talk about that today. Probably, I would be surprised if anybody has ever heard of Heather Dornaden. Anybody ever hear of Heather Dornaden? You've probably, possibly, witnessed the amazing feat I would show you, but because we live stream now, we can't with YouTube and copyright and all that. But maybe you've seen the video. This is it's an indoor track. It's a 600 meter race, I believe. And this is the finale, and it's three laps around. Every lap is 200 meters. 200 meters is just hard. 400 meters is a killer. 600 in the elite realm, they just sprint the whole time. It's ridiculous. So there's four girls in this final race. It is the final race, right? This is, crown the winner. And this girl, I don't know where she was expected a place, but as they start to race, she's doing well. She pulls up from the back, and she is starting to overtake in almost the second, end of the second round. She's going to pass the person in lead. And as she does start to pass the person in lead, they trip. It's not on purpose. They hit each other's legs. And this Heather, she goes down. She goes down hard. Like, she falls. And I don't know about you, if I'm her team, if I'm the coach, if I'm watching on, and you're excited in that, it's a split second, right? You're excited and she's doing well. This is the second lap. There's only one lap left. It's a quick race. And she falls hard. And she falls so hard that you lose her because the camera keeps going with the other ones. And you can hear the crowd, type thing. And this girl gets back up on her feet. It's like she falls and bangs her head and jumps right back up. And she starts running. One lap, 200 meters. She starts running, and then you can hear the announcers, oh my goodness, she may actually overtake that third person. Now, she's fourth right now. Man, that would be amazing if she could overtake. Holy cow, this girl is running. She runs so fast, she overtakes the third person. She overtakes the second person. At this point, of course, the crowd is on their feet going crazy because this is like, she was hardly even beating when they were all together. She was hardly in front when she tripped. And then she goes on, and at the last second, she passes the line and she wins the race. It's a university race. You got to watch it. I'll put it up later on. It's mind-boggling. And then she gets done, and everybody else is bent over, and she's like, and she's just got this determination, like, nothing's going to keep me down. And I think she's blown away by the fact that she just won the race. Of course, it kind of reminds you of the cross and the resurrection, doesn't it? I don't know if you guys, anybody have great imaginations in here? Did anybody grow up with an imagination, like a really good imagination? Who was born pre-electronics and had an imagination? Do you remember when you're as kids, your parents said, go play, you actually had to go play. Didn't mean you go grab your iPhone. And that's tragic, honestly. It really is tragic that our kids grew up without as strong of an imagination. But I remember being a kid and I would imagine incredible things. Like, my imagination, and still to this day, I have a very vivid imagination. But man, in our basement, we had wars in our basement. Of course, when you have an imagination, do you ever lose? No, you always win. It's like playing basketball. If you miss that last, like, you build that, this is like, there's 10 seconds left. He's going to shoot. And of course you expect to get it in, but then you don't get it in. You're like, oh my gosh, he was fouled. We got to do that over again. You just will never lose in your imagination. And I would have wars downstairs and pool balls became hand grenades. And I did the craziest of things. Well, today I want you to use your imagination with me. Because I want to look back at this incredible story we just looked at, like even with a runner coming in first and that resurrection rising from her fall. I want you to think for a minute as we go through the story of the resurrection. I want you to imagine, though, that you don't know what you know. I want you to imagine today you know what the disciples know. And I tried to put my, I went through the four gospels and just really focused on the resurrection. I tried to put myself in their position. And we're going to start with a story in Luke where it really begins to show you where their thought process is. Because as much as we know what we know, and we go, well, why couldn't they see what they know? They couldn't see what we know. But we know it, right? So we can read it and go, man, disciples, man, the Sunday's coming. But they didn't know Sunday was coming. As much as they heard all these things, they believed that there was the Messiah, and they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, okay? So they're following this Messiah for 3 years, and in their minds, in Israeli Jewish culture, the Messiah is going to overthrow, this is what they believe the scriptures said, this is their interpretation, that the Messiah would overthrow the Roman occupation, and they would be free. Because when you're occupied, freedom, that's what you think of, right? If whatever you're in and that word free comes up, you think whatever you're in, you're free of that, right? So if you're in debt, freedom means you're out of debt. If you're sick, freedom means you're healthy. In this case, when you're occupied, freedom means you're free and somebody must come and overthrow. You got it? So they walk with him for 3 years. In their heads, no matter what he said, he would even try to rearrange their thinking. They would always go back to, he's going to come and he's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. And the 12 of us, the three of us, me, I'm going to be top dog. I'm going to be like with him, walking with him as one of his authority people. Like, they just thought that's how it was going to unfold. Can you imagine, though? You know, he starts saying these things about dying, and I have to wonder if they're like, figuratively, of course. You know, like, you're going to go through this challenge before you overthrow. It's got to be figurative because there's no way you can die and reign. It doesn't make sense. Now, I want to prove to you that this is how they thought. There is no way that they did not think this way. So turn your Bibles with me to Luke 24. We'll start there. In Luke 24, we'll start at verse, for sake of time, I'm just going to read off my sheets and not turn to my Bible. Luke 24, verse 13. Just to give you a time frame, Jesus had died. Jesus, on the third day, they are already now, you'll hear in the story that they're beginning to hear reports that possibly somebody has seen Jesus. But I want you to understand, and I'll show you, I'll point it to you. It says, behold, two of them being disciples, were traveling that same day, the day that they started to hear rumors that he possibly had risen, to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So, like, they're literally walking to the road to Emmaus, and they're like, dude, like, what is going on? Like, try to imagine what they're trying to figure this out, like, what have we just done for the last 3 years? Like, did we follow a crazy man? Like, they must have been having this conversation. Did we blow it? Did we miss it? Did we not see what we thought we saw? They talked together of all these things which happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned. How many know that reasoning can sometimes be dangerous? As they reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained, which happens several times in the story of the resurrection where he's not yet willing to show them. It's like he's sneaky. And he said to them, now listen, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? So let's go a little farther. So their countenance is sad. They're confused. It says, then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and you have not known the things which happened here in these days? And he said to them, well, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Listen, who was a prophet? mighty indeed. Another one would say in miracles, another translation, mighty in miracles or deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and be crucified. It's interesting in that moment. What are they saying? This great prophet. Because that's what, if he's dead, well, he can't be the Messiah. He can't be the one they were looking for. So now they're like, oh, again, hoodwinked. We thought it was the Messiah. He's just another great prophet. We've missed it. We've missed 3 years of our life and we've missed it. Let's continue on. But they were hoping, things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a mighty prophet, indeed miracles, word before God and all these people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping it was he that was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since the things that happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see. Even with this report, they're sad. They were hopeful, and now their hope is dashed. And in their minds, they're thinking maybe somebody stole the body, even though there's angels. Like, are you following the path? Like, they're so confused. They're hearing a report, but they're like, this woman, we know Mary. Mary's a little odd at times. You know, she was delivered of 7 demons, so we don't know, you know, like, I don't know how they thought, but I'm just imagining they are confused. Because they're not like, have you heard the report? They're not saying this. This is what they're not saying. That girl that tripped in the race, she's gonna get up and overtake everyone. What they're not saying is, you know, he said that he would rise from the grave in 3 days, and we just found out the grave's empty. He's risen. They're like so confused. They are so confused. Let's read something else. Go to Matthew 27. These are just different parts to the story of the resurrection. And what I love about everybody that writes, we're not going to go to John, but what I love about John's story of the resurrection, I've shared this before, but I think it's so humorous. It makes you realize how human these writers were, because in John's story, he says that Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb and the other disciple got there first. Do you know who's writing the story? The other disciple, John. He's like, so we got really excited. We kind of ran to the tomb, but I just want to let you know I'm faster than Peter. It's like, what does that have anything to do with the story? But I think God's like, we'll leave it in. It's fun. So I just love it. This is Matthew 27. We're going to read a bit again. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb, and he departed. That was all custom burial. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. Now, this is what I want you to look at. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.'" So let's just stop. So what this story is, basically, they're coming up, the Pharisees and that, they're like, okay, this deceiver said that he would rise again in 3 days. So what we need to do to prove them all wrong is we need to put guards there. Not just Roman guards, like we want people that we trust there. Because if they come and try to roll the stone away and take his body, we got to stop it because we don't want rumors. Okay? So that's where we're at right now. But I love it because they set themselves up for failure. Where are we at? It says, therefore, command the tomb be secured until that third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. So Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way, make it secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So they did exactly what he gave them permission. You do it, seal it tight, put guards around it, all right? Verse 28, Matthew. Now, while they were going, this is verse 11 of Matthew 28. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. Like, look how quickly this changes, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. Literally, a chapter earlier was like, we cannot let them steal the body. You need to stand guard. The angels show up, soldiers pass out, they come back and report it. They're like, okay, change of story. We're gonna tell them that they did steal the body. Like, we gotta change our story again. This is how confusing those moments are. So they say, tell them his disciples came at night and stole them away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money as they did and did as they were instructed and said, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. All that to say this. This is utter chaos in this moment. In one moment, they're like, seal the tomb, make sure nobody can get in there. The next moment, the tomb is empty. We're going to pay you to tell everybody the disciples came and did take the body. The disciples are confused because they're like, did somebody take the body? Like, what is going on here? They're hearing Mary reports that she saw him. Like, what is going on? My point I want to make is that we are looking at Resurrection Sunday with excitement. They are looking at Sunday in utter, absolute defeat. And there's something we have to, as we just read a little further, understand. I could read so many scriptures. The one I wanted to get to as well is Mary. We need to understand that Mary had spices that after the Sabbath, she was going to go and anoint his body for burial, for death. What does that mean? She believed he was dead. Mary, the one that was part of that resurrection and life conversation that she had with Jesus, I am the resurrection and life. She was getting ready. That's why she went to the tomb. She had embalming oils, basically, to go, my Savior is dead. I'm going to embalm him. None of them are looking at going, guys, just wait. On the third day, he's going to rise up. None of them. I think that's fascinating because we look to the cross to be so profound. But you ever think that without Sunday, the cross means nothing? Because there's been a lot of great leaders that have walked the earth. Like, you can think of a lot of great people, can't you? I can. We can think a lot of other religions, but did you know that we're the only one that has Jesus that has risen from the dead? And I know that seems small, but you got to realize Jesus walked with them for 3 years and promised a lot of things. Even just before he goes to die, he promises them, I'm making a new covenant with you. A new covenant. Only God can make covenants. We've talked about this if you've been here long enough. Only God can make a covenant. And on the Last Supper, he says, I'm making a new covenant with you. Partake of me. He starts to talk about sins being forgiven, eternal life, all these things. But if there is no resurrection, all of that is a lie. So everything, imagine everything that you've believed in that moment is now a lie in your mind. That one girl that they trained, Heather, she trained that 4 years, I think it was, of college, and she falls. Can you imagine the hopelessness in that moment of you as the runner, as the coach that's trained you, as your team that's cheering you on? You're like, ah! In one moment, our hopes are dashed. You gotta watch the video because she gets up and you can't imagine how quick this girl runs and in 200 meters catches and passes everyone. And then the coach goes from in 1 second, I don't see the coach, but if I was the coach, I'd be like, defeat, maybe, victorious. How can this be? And yet the disciples, it says in that, if I continue reading that story, it says that they're walking on the road to Emmaus with this man and the man's gonna keep going. They don't know it's Jesus. And they're like, well, why don't you come and eat with us? And Jesus is like, sure, I'm gonna come and eat with you. And it says that he took the bread and broke it, gave thanks. And it says their eyes were opened and they experienced the resurrected Jesus. And in that moment, everything started to make sense. When the disciples are in the room and Jesus walks through the door and Thomas is like, I'm not gonna believe you until I see you. And he sees Jesus and he sees the wounds and everything makes sense. I think sometimes we forget that they were really human. They were really human. And everything that they had hoped for was dashed in an instant. Now, as I was preparing, I want to read a few more scriptures, but as I was preparing, I thought, I feel like that we've been in a season, I'm not even talking about COVID, I feel like people have been in a season of going, my hopes, like I'm hanging on by a thread to my faith. Here's the amazing thing. Where'd Zach go? Is Zach still here? He's walking. And we want to see Zach healed. Want to see Pascal healed. You've had so much healing already. It's awesome. We just want to see a finished work, don't we? See, we live on this side of the cross where we know two things can happen. The disciples did not live on that side of the cross. I'm trying to make this, like, resurrection was not a thing. Death was death. There was no resurrection from the life. He started to talk about it, but there was no resurrection until Jesus became the resurrection. Sometimes we forget that, did you know that people died after the cross? Like everybody that's ever lived has died at some point, right? And until that moment, there's no understanding of resurrection. There's no understanding of an afterlife. There's no understanding of eternal life. And this is what I know with Zach. We're gonna continue to fight for his life. But you know the incredible joy that we have knowing that either way this goes, Jesus wins. But the disciples didn't understand any of that until that. We live on this side of the race. Heather gets up and wins the race. We live on this side of the race. We want to see Zach come into victory. And we're going to believe that Zach's going to come into victory. But resurrection life is his one way or the other. Right? By the way, all of us are going to face that one day. But here's the thing, we all have resurrection life one way or another. And if we don't have the cross in this story, then everything, like I said, that Jesus said is just null and void. I was reading, like people said, if Jesus died on the cross, we'd still have forgiveness of sins. Yes or no? If he just died on the cross, forgiveness of sins. Absolutely. But could you believe it? Because lots of people have died. But he said that he would die and be resurrected. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians with me. Oh, I may have copied that one. How many still have a Bible with paper? At home. Slowly turn to 1 Corinthians in your electronics. Oh, help me, Lord, find it. Slowly turn through your Bibles. That's what happens when you forget to copy and paste. Thank you, Lord. It might be 2 Corinthians. Nope. 1 Corinthians. 15. I hear paper. That's a beautiful sound. First Corinthians 15. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you that the gospel which I preached to you was also received, and in you which you stand, by which you also are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that Christ, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. He's basically writing and saying, listen, it is impossible not to believe that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. There was over 500 witnesses. Have you ever thought about that? Other writers that are not in the Bible have also written that Jesus rose from the dead. And I'm forgetting his name. Josephus. 500 witnesses declare that Jesus, they saw him again afterwards. So either he didn't die on the cross, and that was all fake, but that was put on by the Romans, so they wouldn't fake it. Or he did come back to life, and 500 people witnessed it. Because what Paul's about to do, he's going to go, listen, if he did not rise from the dead, what are we doing? 500 witnesses. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. That simply means they've died. Some of the people that were there that witnessed were dead now. After he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then the last of all who was seen by me also, as by one born out of time. Paul's just basically saying, I saw Jesus like after everybody else saw him, and kind of like feels like I was out of time, like everybody saw him before me. Anyway, long story. For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, so you believed. Verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached, and he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? He's like, so if he did rise from the dead, how do you say that he's not risen from the dead? How do you say there's no resurrection? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So either there is or there isn't. There is or there isn't there. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Like, this is what it comes down to. What are we doing at church if we don't believe that he resurrected? Right? He's just a guy. He's just a leader. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Like, stop and think about that for a minute. If Christ is not risen, we are all sinners bound for hell. Then also those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men of the most pitiable. You understand what he just said at the very end there? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men of the most pitiable. Let me sum up what I'm trying to say, because you're probably wondering. Everything that Jesus said is an utter lie if he didn't rise from the dead. Sins couldn't be forgiven without another lamb being sacrificed. Resurrection would not happen. But here's the greatest thing. We would not be new creations without the resurrection. Because Jesus cannot dwell in something that's unholy. And without Jesus dying in the forgiveness of sins, you can't ask Jesus into your life and into your heart. The Holy Spirit can't dwell here, and you can't function and walk with him. Everything hinges on that resurrection. And if you go a little further, Paul's like, why would I put myself to the point of death every day if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? What would be the point? Have you ever thought about, if you've looked at the story, people have posted it at different times. If you've ever looked at the story of the disciples and how they've met their death, how many ever read it? The disciples met really not great deaths. Sawed in half, crucified upside down, boiling oil. They were so convinced at the resurrection that Peter, all the disciples actually ran away. Peter denied them, and then they turn around and they begin to go, I'm giving my entire life to this because it's so important that I have to do this. Would you do that if it was fake? Would you do that if it was a lie? And that's why they're like, okay, guard the tomb. We can't let them think that they're gonna steal the body. Okay, maybe they stole the body. Okay, we're gonna tell them that they stole the body and we're gonna pay you to do that. 500 witnesses witnessed that Jesus rose from the dead. It's incredible. So I wanna go back to what I was saying. I think there's a lot of people like me at different times where I'm like, Lord, I'm on the hinge of my hope right now. We're feeling that for Zach. Zach, I want to encourage you. Your walk through this has been awesome. Just really want to encourage you. You've been, you're a blessing to us. We just want to encourage you in that. We get to points in our life where a lot of things that maybe we thought we understood. Let me say it this way. There's been, in my walk over the last 6 years, things that have gotten so clouded and confused. But as I read this last couple days, the incredible story of resurrection, that even history cannot deny that Jesus lived, and it would have been the greatest duping of all time, because they would have looked for his body, they would have tried to have proven it, but people, 500 witnesses, saw him raised from the dead, defeated death, forgave our sins, made a way so that we can be resurrected and live with him. But here's the crazy thing. We're going to talk a little more about kingdom. It's not only for the after, it's for the now. It's for the now. The crazy thing is that when I say, Jesus, I receive what you've done on the cross. I should have put it up there, but I love it. There's a picture of the Passover back in the day, and it's got a picture of the door frame with the blood on the door frame. And it said, Jesus, when the spirit of death, remember Passover, and they had to put blood on the door frame? And if you had blood on the door frame, you would be saved. It says it didn't matter who was behind the door as long as the blood was over the door. And it's just reminding me again that we're so often, we're like, oh my gosh, am I worthy enough? The blood is the worthy part. We get caught up in that. But it's like, man, the moment that I come in and I say, Jesus, I receive the blood and the sacrifice and what you did, but not only what you did on the cross, because that's Friday, I also receive the fact that you rose again on Sunday, and now you're seated in heavenly places, that you have all authority and power. I believe that. And when we come into that, first of all, we are behind the door now with the blood. Whew, worthy. Right? Righteous. There's a beautiful scripture that says the death made us worthy and righteous, but the resurrection caused the justification that we can now walk in that. And so that's the thing. Without the resurrection, you just have forgiveness of sins. Covered up for another year. That's what they did in the Old Testament. A lamb was slain. You had your sins covered up. It's not like that anymore. The cross, death, burial, resurrection, receiving it, saying, Lord, I receive that you died. Listen, there is no other way to heaven. I'm telling you right now, if you think there's good works, if you think there's another way, the Bible clearly says there's one way. And it's the most incredible thing that you just say, Jesus, I receive that you died for me as me. And that blood now is covered on that door, and I stand behind it. But here's what we want to step into. Jesus didn't die that we could get to heaven. Jesus died that we could live in heaven, bring it here. That's the whole point of the kingdom. And so we're in this battle right now to go, Lord, we want to see heaven touch Zach. We want to see heaven touch Pascal. But for a lot of you, you're like, I need to, like the road of Emmaus, I need to be like those two disciples, and I need to experience Jesus. And I know that we are heading into a season where I believe people are going to walk through these doors or walk into your life, and you are going to be one of the ones that help them experience Jesus. And I'm convinced more than ever before, it's easier than we think. I sit with my kids' friends. Did you know that just listening today can be so Jesus? Like, we had them over for pizza. 2 weeks later, they're like, can we come over again? Why do 20-year-olds want to spend time with us 40-something-year-olds? Seriously, they have a lot of other things they can be doing. When they call and they go, can we just come hang out with your parents? Like, I know we're cool, but not as cool as Claude. It's a nice outfit. I was admiring your outfit today. But why? Come on, guys. Why do 20-year-olds want to hang out with 40-something-year-old people? Because of Jesus. Because they're tasting of something they've never tasted before. And this is the road to Emmaus, where they're like, they're walking with somebody. And they don't even know it's Jesus until it says their eyes were open and they go, did our hearts not burn? That's what they say afterwards. Did our hearts not burn when he was speaking to us? Like, what was that? I don't know what that was. My heart was burning too. Maybe in their minds, they're like, next Messiah. And Jesus is like, no, say Messiah. But they felt the love of God. There are so many stories like that. And Rod played a beautiful one, Pastor Rod, on Friday with Mary Magdalene, of seeing her set free and then forgiven and her eyes growing wide, and her only response is to embrace. We have this incredible opportunity because of the resurrection that we get to now walk around and bring resurrection life. There's a scripture, it keeps coming to mind, but it's hard for us. There's a scripture that says, when Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and this is before the upper room, this is when he shows up, and then he says this, If you forgive their sins, they will be forgiven. You've talked on this many times. And I think this is the way I interpret that, because that's a deep, pretty deep scripture that we can forgive sins. But my point is this, that people will come to us and go, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this mess? How do I find hope? How do I find life? How do I find peace? And we get to be there to go, listen, there is this thing called resurrection life through Jesus, because he died on the cross for us and for you and as you. And now you can actually live in that. And people are desperate. Amen. Just before we go any further, why don't we stretch our hands towards Zach? And Mireille. Mireille carries the burden. Lord, I thank you that we stand today, where it's a day that we celebrate resurrection life. But Lord, I thank you, it's not a day, it's every day. It's not something we just celebrate one day, it's something that you came and gave us, resurrection life. And Lord, we're gonna keep fighting, but today we stand right now. And as a body of believers, we declare the resurrection life of healing, of forgiveness, of everything that you paid for and rose for, we declare over him right now in Jesus' name. Lord, as we stretch our hands, Lord, in Acts it says they stretched their hands. It says, sorry, they stretched your hand. We stretch your hand out now over his body and every area, every lesion, all the swelling, the water retention, we say, be healed in Jesus' name. And we choose to right now step into that resurrection power that you died and rose for in Jesus' name. We pray for strength over Mireille, strength over both their minds, strength over their heart, strength over their life. And Lord, I thank you that they're doing everything that they know to do. But Lord, like the two disciples that walked the road to Emmaus, they did not know what to do next. And they were sad. But Jesus, you walked in. Come on, Jesus, you walked in. We ask right now that Jesus, you would walk in and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. And maybe like Zach, you're in here and Jesus needs to walk in and you need to experience him. Why don't you stand with me? Maybe like the disciples, you're like, I'm so confused. My life has not gone the way I expected it to go. My dreams have not happened the way I thought they would happen. The end result is not what I expected. My job is not what I, like whatever it is. I felt like today you need to know that Jesus knows. And Jesus isn't surprised. And the reality is sometimes that we plan, we reason. Remember it said the disciples reasoned. They were trying to make 1 + 1 add up and it wasn't adding up because they reasoned in their mind and Jesus had to come. And he had to come help them. We're gonna stand and take communion. Thank you. Jesus had to walk into their life. I'll give you a second so you can focus. You can go ahead and... Jesus had to walk into their life and begin to help them understand it's not gonna look like the way you thought. And I think for some of us here, things haven't gone the way you thought they were gonna go. Pascal, they didn't go the way they thought. But Jesus is still walking with you. And that's the thing we have to remember. Jesus is still walking with us. Even over the last few years in my own life, I have to remind myself, maybe it didn't go the way I expected. Maybe things didn't go this way or that way, but Jesus is still walking with me. And when we get into reasoning why, that's when we get, every time I try to reason, I get into trouble. But when I lay back and I say, Lord, I don't understand, but you're still walking with me. Listen, this representation of his body and blood would be nothing without the resurrection. It would be a really good idea. That's what it would have been. But 500 witnesses say, oh, no, no, he died and rose again. He's still living. So, Lord, we just start by saying thank you. Lord, I pray, even as Brandy said, Lord, I pray that the awe of the sacrifice, but of the power of resurrection would hit us this coming year. That we would be so grateful for what you did. We thank you for the body, the price that was paid for our healing, for our wholeness, for our forgiveness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. It says to do this in remembrance of me. It's not just in remembrance, it's also partaking of what you did. Partaking of the death, partaking of the resurrection. Lord, that you died to remove our sin, you died to remove our shame, but you died to also, you rose to give us life, you rose to give us power. And Lord, even as we close, I just pray that every person here that has walked over the last days, weeks, years in confusion, Lord, that they would feel you walking with them. And Lord, in the midst of that confusion, they would know that you are walking beside them. Resurrection life is walking beside them. We thank you for your body and your blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for today. Maybe the question we can ask ourselves before we leave is, how can we be resurrection life to somebody today? You know that uncle, that odd uncle, or aunt, or cousin, or friend that just really needs somebody to sit and talk with? That could be resurrection life today. Maybe resurrection life is encouraging their identity today in the right way. Pulling out something that maybe you've never said that you've always thought. And hopefully for somebody that connects with somebody today and they can say, you know what, Jesus really does love you. I know you don't believe it, but let me tell you about him. So I pray, Father God, that we would be brave, at times bold, but Lord, more than anything, that your resurrection life and love would come out of us. And Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, that it would be like the two men on the road to Emmaus, that maybe at the end of today, they would say, man, my heart's burned. My heart burned as you were talking. What is that? And we'd be able to share Jesus. And we thank you again for such an incredible resurrection. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.